Hello, salam alaikum, guten tag, bonjour. Hello everyone and welcome back to our 26th episode of The World of Heritage. My name is Stephanie and with me here is Niloufar and we are hosting today's talk.
This podcast originally started as part of our study project. Now, a few months later, that project is still ongoing and we decided to extend our team by including Mary and Liana.
And as always, we are excited to learn more about our colleagues and dear friends of the BTU Heritage community. Let's introduce today's lovely guest, Shatha Ali. Shatha is an architect from Bahrain who has always had a passion for heritage and culture. After graduation, she received training at the Bahrain Authority for Culture and Antiquities by documenting facades of the houses along the Purling Path, a World Heritage Site, which then turned into a full-time position where she was appointed to work within the official Purling Path team for almost 4 years.
Later on, she decided to pursue her master's degree in the World Heritage Studies in BTU, where alongside her studies and working as a student assistant, she worked for a project at an intercultural organization, Candide Foundation in Berlin, performing tasks related to management. So happy to have you speak to us here, Shatha. Thank you so much and welcome. How are you?
Hello. First of all, I would like to thank you for hosting me today. And thank you for the nice introduction. I've been following your account on Instagram and honestly, I never imagined that I would be part of it. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much to you to be our guest today. We're excited. So let's start with part one of our talk then, which is life before the Heritage Master. Why did you decide to study architecture and how different do you find it from World Heritage Studies?
To be completely honest, studying architecture wasn't always a dream of mine. I graduated from high school and I love mathematics and physics and I was trying to look for a major that has those modules and then I thought like maybe something in engineering and I applied in the University of Bahrain and my first choice was architecture and then civil engineering and interior design and I got accepted in architecture. And if you ask me today, like, I think this was the best thing that ever happened to me. Although if you ask any architecture students, they would tell you that these are the most stressful years of their lives. But I really enjoyed every aspect of it. I would say that I learned a lot of new skills and it sets a really nice foundation for the future. However, if I'm talking about the World Heritage Studies, I think they're completely different because in architecture, we would only focus on like design projects and like the whole major is mostly practical. And when I studied here at the beginning, it was like very challenging for me, especially with all the readings and the theories that they were all new for me. And it was like a completely new world. I was never even aware of it. So the first semester was super overwhelming, but then like I got used to it.
Great. How about the life after your graduation in Bahrain? How did you apply for becoming a trainee in the Bahrain Authority for Culture and Antiquities?
Okay, so it all started when I had a module which was called Indigenous Architecture in Bahrain. I found myself like really enjoying these modules and this is where I realized that I have a passion for heritage. So in order to fulfill my graduation requirements, I have to undertake some training in an entity of my choice. And luckily, the Bahrain Authority for Culture and Antiquities was on the list. So I applied and I was accepted and I had a 2 month training there. And at this point, I knew that I wouldn't want to pursue a career in architecture. I couldn't imagine myself working in an architectural firm. And I just wanted to delve into conservation and surround myself in heritage.
Shatha, you were assigned to be part of the facade upgrade team to document the facades of the buildings along the Purling Path, which is a World Heritage Site in Bahrain. Could you please tell our listeners in your own words a little bit about the World Heritage Site, Purling Testimony of an Island Economy?
So after finishing my training period, I was contacted by my manager and they wanted me to be part of the team. So I started as a contracted surveyor. I wasn't a full-time employee. The main part of the project was to document the facades. And when I joined the team afterwards, when I was offered a position there, I didn't know much about the project at the very beginning. With time, I came to love every aspect of it. When I talk about the Perling Path now, like I really talk about it passionately because I really love it. So in brief, the Perling Path is a project, or let's say it's a World Heritage Site in Bahrain that comprises 17 buildings that are connected with a designed path. It's around 3.5 kilometers long in the old city of Muharraq. It's also inscribed along with three offshore oyster beds and part of a seashore at the southern tip of the Muharraq Island. This is where the boats used to set off at the beginning of the pearling season. Now, these 17 buildings are architectural testimony that comprises residential and commercial structures. So they are like mixed. And these are like tangible manifestations of the major social and economic roles associated with the pearling society. So once you walk in the path, it takes you into this journey to a time when the pearling economy was at its peak. So every building you visit would tell you part of the story. So you have a variety of buildings, like let's say there's the building of the pearl diver, a very simple structure. And then you will have like the middle income class, and then you have like the rich class. So you can see like the different, let's say, layers of this community. So you have the house, let's say, of the captain of the ship, which we call Al-Nukhida. You have the house of the pearl merchant, Al-Tawash. And let's say you have the house of the boat builder. So you can see each aspect of the like the pearling economy. And at the end, you will basically have the story of this industry that was thriving until it dramatically declined in the 1930s with the discovery of oil.
So we find this site very interesting, and just thinking about the history of the pearl divers and everyone involved in the pearling industry is an area of heritage that we never explored. So what we'd like to ask you is, what is your favorite learning experience during the time that you were part of official Pearling Path team in Bahrain?
Okay, I would say like since I joined the authority, everything was a learning experience for me. I discovered a new world that, although I was aware that it exists, but I never knew it had so much depth in it. Now I have a huge appreciation for pearls. I never knew the amount of work people had to go through to just find those pearls. And they were such difficult times. And when you think about it, people only focus on the end product, but no one focuses on the journey those people had to go through. People used to die because they would be in those, like the pearling season usually would stay like more than 4 months. So people are away from their homes in the middle of the sea. But I would say like my favorite learning experience is that I learned about a lot about the history of Bahrain, the history of my country. And I discovered that it actually goes way back more than I know. Like it's rich in culture, it's rich in history. And I think that is my favorite learning experience.
Great. Thank you so much, Shatta, for those insightful answers. We were able to visit Bahrain's historical pearling through our small talk here. So for now, we will go to take a short break before part two. Stay tuned.
And we are back with part two, where we will talk a little bit more about Cottbus, how you moved, how you like it, and your experience so far. Other than your work on the Pearling Path team, you also participated in organizing the 42nd session of the World Heritage Committee meeting in Bahrain in 2018. Did that push your decision to apply to the World Heritage Studies program at BTU, or was it always in the back of your mind? Describe to us your overall experience with the committee session as well, if you'd like.
So as an employee in the Bahrain Authority for Culture and Antiquities, that was the entity that was responsible for organizing the 42nd session of the World Heritage Committee meeting in Bahrain. And I got the opportunity to work as an organizer with them. And when I first started working there, I had zero knowledge of the World Heritage Convention, although I am working on a World Heritage site. But the site I'm working on was inscribed in 2012, so I wasn't really involved in the inscription process. My work was mostly focusing on the conservation and some administrative work. and I was not very familiar with the protocols and procedures involved. Anyway, so I started working and my task was not in the plenary room. I was actually in the registration desk outside. And I was working side by side with some BTU students who came as volunteers in the on that session. And as time passed, and when I was like entering the meeting room and all, I started paying attention to the discussions that were going on. I was a bit like interested, and they actually caught my attention. And I ended up, like, when I'm working outside in the registration area, I would just open the live stream and I would watch what was going on inside. So I would say the whole experience was fruitful, and it made me realize that I want to be part of this community. So working with the students from BTU, I had multiple discussions with my new friends, and we started talking about the World Heritage Studies program and the master's in general. And shortly after that, I started seriously considering applying for this program. And I actually visited Kotpis December 2018, like after the committee meeting, to visit my friends. And then I had the opportunity to attend some classes. I remember attending Miriam's class, and I had like a very short tour in the campus, and I just loved Kotpis. So I went back to Bahrain and I started preparing my documents, and I applied for the winter semester in 2019.
Wow, that's really inspiring that you have prepared so much and you have firsthand knowledge about UNESCO before even getting into the university. Chateau, so you didn't apply to any other university. BTU was your first choice, right?
Let's say in August 2018, like before visiting Kotpis, that was when I was seriously considering applying for a master's program. And at the beginning, I was looking for a couple of universities. Like, BTU was not my only option. So I looked at a couple of universities in UK and some others in Germany. And the focus at the beginning was conservation. And when I started reading about the program, I realized that I don't really want to go into like the technical part of conservation. I found myself more into management. So then I refocused my attention on BTU, and then I planned my visits. Once I came back to Bahrain, I was like, no, I definitely want to apply for this university and this program.
That is really nice. Thanks for sharing this with us. How do you find living in Kotpis? You mentioned that you fell in love immediately with Kotpis. So we are really excited to learn what you really like about Kotpis and what must-see places are in Kotpis that you would recommend students to visit.
I would say I found Kotpis really different from Bahrain. Maybe that's what caught my attention. I heard a lot from students that it is boring and there's nothing much to do in Kotpis because it's like a small town, and it can be true sometimes, but I found it like really perfect for my studies. It's really quiet, peaceful, and I like the nature in Kotpis. My favorite places in Kotpis would be anywhere along the Spree River. Like, these are my go-to places. Maybe Brennitzer Park was also nice. I really liked when I went there. I've almost been everywhere in Kotpis. I mean, you know, it's not that big, so you can just like roam around and see everything. So yeah.
And we have a pre-pandemic question for you. Did you get the chance to visit other German cities in Germany or other countries in Europe through the time that you've been studying in Germany? And what has been your favorite city so far and why?
Well, I think, yeah, I had my shares in traveling at the very first semester. So in Germany, I've only been to Dresden and Berlin so far. However, I traveled to other countries in Europe. I've been to Bosnia, I've been to Poland, Czech Republic, Spain, and Italy. And it's actually very difficult to choose one city because I have like special memories associated with every trip I had. If I can choose like a country, I would say my favorite country was Bosnia, if I can consider that. If I could say a city, if in Bosnia, I would say like I loved Mostar. It was like really beautiful. You know the feeling when you're like, when you say something is like breathtaking. So that was Mostar for me. But I also loved Barcelona, but I can't really choose between them and I can't compare between them because they're both like charming in a different way.
I have a follow-up question on this one. So what do you think why Bosnia caught your attention in that way it did, and why do you choose it to be your favorite country? Because I haven't been, but I would love to visit, and it would be nice to like hear from someone who like visited it and also think that it's a really pretty country.
Okay, I think maybe the first reason is that it was the first European country that I ever visited. I actually visited before Germany. The landscape and the nature there is like completely different than any scenery I've ever seen. And Bahrain is an island, and it's mostly like desert. So any greenery would be like, I would be like, wow. But other than that, like, I love the architecture in Bosnia, and the like the history is like very rich in Bosnia. And maybe part of it was the group I was with. Maybe that's made the whole trip more, let's say, enriching and fun. But every part of Bosnia was beautiful. Like, I can't say that I went to a part and I felt like, it's just like, okay. And that I would feel in other countries in Europe, but like Bosnia is like completely different. And I heard before going there that they say that Bosnia is like heaven on earth. And it is actually heaven on earth.
Okay, so then I have to visit, probably, and maybe soon. What is the main difference between living in Bahrain and Germany? What do you think?
I think the main difference would be language and culture. Those are the main differences. But again, I already mentioned that Bahrain is an island. So I have this, I've always had this connection with the sea. And I miss this a lot in Germany. Also, like, I'm used to drive in Bahrain, and here I'm just using public transportation. So that is a bit different for me. And also, like, the weather is completely different, because in Bahrain, it's mostly hot and humid around the year. And in summer, the temperature exceeds 50 degrees. So it's like, it's the opposite to Germany, when mostly it's winter and it's always cold. But I still prefer this over the Bahraini summer weather. Also, I would say like the lifestyle and the people in general.
Coming to the food culture, how different is the food culture here, and what dish from home do you miss the most?
How different is the food culture? I would say completely different. And I couldn't adapt actually to the German cuisine. And in Cottbus, I never liked the doner. I know a lot of students love it, but I can't stand it. So our food culture is influenced mainly by the Indian culture and also the Persian. So it's like a mixture of different spices and tastes. And I think this is what I miss the most when I eat like the German cuisine. And when I first came to Germany, I didn't know really how to cook. And I usually used to either eat outside or at Mensa. And whenever I wanted to feel a taste of home, I would like look for Indian restaurants, because for me, this is like the closest I have to the food we have at home. So soon enough, like, I started to get bored, and I had to start learning how to cook. And I started preparing some meals, like some Bahraini dishes and like some pasta or something like very simple. I would say the dish I miss the most would be maybe fish with rice, or any kind of dish with shrimp, because our cuisine mostly contains seafood, and the fish here is a bit different than the fish we have in Bahrain. So here I would mostly eat chicken or beef. So sometimes I would just crave to eat like fish or or anything like seafood.
Great, we're done with the questions for part two. So let's take a short break and come back with the third part. Stay tuned.
Hi again, we are back talking about our university program and the current projects with Sheta. Sheta, you got the work experience of having a short-term project at Candida Foundation in Berlin. Could you please tell us more about that project and what roles you were involved in?
I came across this opportunity when I was looking for internships to do during summer. And my profile was a perfect fit for the position, because they wanted someone who speaks English and the mother tongue was Arabic. And so I applied, and I got the position as a project assistant for a project called Alhan Libya, which means Melodies of Libya. And Libya is a country in the Middle East, as you know. And the project celebrates the music of Libya, the past and present. It brings together over 25 Libyan musicians, They would come together and they would be like, they were distributed into 8 teams, and each team produced a song. And at the end of the project, there was an album that was launched. So the participants were between the ages of 18 and 30 from different backgrounds. And I was handling mostly the communication between all the members of the project and the management in both Arabic and English. And I had many translation work and transcription of various complexities from English to Arabic and vice versa. I conducted interviews with stakeholders in Libya for the purpose of promoting the project. Also for prospective project participants at the very beginning, when we had over 100 participants and we had to choose only 25. My tasks also included some event organization, and that included a Facebook Live Q&A session that I hosted in Arabic. And sometimes my tasks also included like social media management.
Did you like your tasks? Because it's so different than what you studied for architecture. I mean, social media has not really a lot to do with what you did for the project. So did you like it? Was it fulfilling to you? And it was online, right? You mentioned that. Or was it in person?
No, it was both. It was a cultural project. So I thought that, okay, this can somehow be related to World Heritage Studies in a sense. So, of course, the project itself was online because Candid Foundation is based in Berlin and the project was targeted for Libya. So we held everything online. But we had a team, a multidisciplinary team that were all around the world. But the main team was based in Berlin. So I was working 2 days a week. I had to go to the office in Berlin. But as the situation got worse around October 2020, they switched into online mode and the work entirely was online. It was frustrating at first. I felt a bit disconnected from the rest of the team. And, you know, working from home is a bit boring. But it didn't affect the project overall because we already were working online with the participants and the mentors and the musicians that we were connecting with.
Speaking of language, are you also learning German, or did you take any German courses, or how could you get along working in the German-speaking community?
Okay, so as you know by now, like I was fully prepared when I wanted to start my master's. So I decided to start learning German in Bahrain before I came here. And I just took Eins level in Bahrain. And when I came here, I didn't think that I need to finish learning German. But last semester, I took A2 Eins and I did not register on the next level yet. Although I really love learning German. It is a nice language, but speaking is very challenging. It's very challenging for me. I would understand when someone is speaking. I would understand when I'm reading something, but when it comes to speaking, I would shut down and I wouldn't know how to, like the communication would just end. So I think like I just need more practice, and I might maybe register in further courses in the future.
What responsibilities and duties do you uphold as a student assistant in the University of BTU currently? Because we heard that you are a student assistant with the chair of intercultural management, right? Or cultural management, is it?
Cultural management.
Yeah. Cultural management.
Okay, so right now I'm assisting Dr. Rudolph in the heritage legislation module, and specifically the first half of the module, which is procedures and processes of the 1972 World Heritage Convention. And my main responsibility is communicating with students. So I'm managing the Moodle course page. I'm hosting weekly tutoring live sessions to answer all the questions that the students have regarding the course material and the requirements. I'm also responsible for preparing the exercises that complement the course material and enable the students to interact with the content and better understand it.
So this might be a little mean and tough question. Are you planning on writing your master's thesis soon, or do you have some sort of idea on which direction you are heading, or at least is it the focus on built heritage like your background or intangible heritage sort of ideas?
This indeed is a tough question. But yes, I am planning to write my thesis next semester, hopefully. At the beginning of the master's, I was thinking that I might do something related to my work, my previous work, something related to Bahrain or the Pearling Path project. But as soon as I started the classes, I discovered many new aspects. And right now, I don't have yet the slightest idea on what I'll be writing. So I do not have an answer for that.
All right, don't worry about it. But are you thinking of moving back to Bahrain or do you want to stay in Germany?
Well, that is even a harder question, actually. And I think everyone in their thesis phases are having the same struggles. It depends on the opportunity, actually. Like, it depends what kind of opportunities I would find. They were in Bahrain, in Germany, or any other country. So I don't really have a specific country that I want to work in.
Okay, so we only have one more question for you, and that is, what is your favorite World Heritage Site and why?
Okay, I obviously don't know all the World Heritage Sites that are there in the world, but I would talk about the dearest World Heritage Site that I have. And it's actually a World Heritage Site that is in Bahrain. It is Qal'at al-Bahrain or Bahrain Fort. And it is the capital of the Dilmun civilization, an ancient civilization that we had on our island. This site is very dear for me. I love just going there. It is beside the seashore. So this is the favorite place that I would usually hang out in when I'm in Bahrain. Just go and sit there or go and have a walk around the fort.
I think we didn't have that one yet. So exciting to look into it. Thank you so much, Shatha, for taking the time and for sharing your story with us today. We hope you have had fun with us too. And we wish you a great rest of the semester and all the luck and a lot of ideas for your master thesis. And I think Niloufar and I, we both agree, we really enjoyed having you.
I feel the same, actually. And it was really nice to have this talk with you too. Thank you again for hosting me. And I hope everyone would enjoy the episode.
Yeah. That was a great pleasure for us. And also thanks to everyone listening to Shatha's story and supporting the podcast along the way. We had such a pleasure to see our classmates and get to know them more and are excited to share all their stories with you guys. Be sure to check next week's episode where we will be interviewing fourth semester HCSM student Yesu Yang. Yesu is from Seoul, South Korea. She studied cultural and tourism there for her bachelor's, and after some years of work experience, she decided to pursue her master's in Germany. She's currently an intern in Italy. So listeners, be sure to stay tuned for Yesu's story and keep updated with the newest episodes.
Interested in sharing your thoughts and stories too? Feel free to contact us. You can reach us on Instagram, The World of Heritage, or email. Thanks again for tuning in. Shukran, arigato, mamun, and goodbye.